One. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Pony Developer Sync for August 20th, 2019. My name is Andrew Turley. I'm your host. And can everybody else just introduce themselves?
I'm Sean Allen.
I'm Theo Butler.
I'm Scott Lustig for Tree.
I'm Corey Tischer.
All right. Welcome, everybody. I've dumped the open issues into the sync channel. I tweaked my thing a little bit, so now we've got actual links that go to the issues. Yay. So let's start with RFCs. We have two. There's 154 RFC proposal for filtering Walker handler directories. This is mine. Dippin and I had a discussion, and I think I need to respond to his comment from a few days ago. Basically the way that the directory walker is set up is, I think, a little bit awkward. It felt awkward when I started using it. And part of the reason for that is that in order to filter the directories that it goes to, you have to remove items from an array. And removing individual items from an array can kind of be a little bit of a pain in the butt. So I had a proposal for how to change the API. Dippin had a different idea. So I think we can kind of bounce back and forth on that. I think there's probably, or there might also be a question around, like, do we want to make any additions or changes to the array API to make that easier to work with in general. But even if we change that, I think that I think it would still make sense to change the way the walker works. So, next, LLVM command line options integration 153. So this is the one for figuring out how to pass LLVM command line options into the Pony compiler. So in the last week, there's been some discussion about whether or not to allow multiple ways to do it, which Dippin had proposed having either an environment variable or a command line argument. Using quotes. So it looks like Joe was in favor of, and M. Shockwave were both in favor of doing multiple options. Sean has voiced an opinion to have one way to do it and not more than one way.
Wait, is that what Joe was saying?
I thought so. He said, I like Dippin's suggestion.
Hey, Dippin's, let me read it again. I prefer option three, right? I don't see how that's, how is that saying multiple? I think Dippin's was saying, I don't like either. We had presented it as option one. We're picking between option one and two. And I believe Dippin was saying, I like option three. Maybe I'm missing something, but where in it is he saying that we support multiple ways?
Oh, I thought that's what he meant when he said option three, which is, I thought that he meant do both of those things. Maybe I missed.
Option three is under alternatives, right? In the RFC, there's use environment variables to pass LLVM specific command line options similar to what Julia does, which was added as an alternative because Dippin suggested it. That's option three.
Oh, I see. Okay. That makes more sense then. Okay.
Okay, so it seems like really when we were asking between option one and option two, right, nobody reacted in favor of option one, right? Everybody put the rocket.
Mm-hmm.
So really what we're talking about probably is option two, the comrade separate list, or the environment variable LLVM specific are really the two that we're talking about at this point.
Okay, so should we have another vote on that?
Yes, I think I'll leave a comment to that effect, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's try this again based on early feedback. We have two ideas that seem to be favored. Idea is labeled as option two in the current RFC text. This idea is listed as an alternative in the current RFC text. If you are in favor of option two, please respond to this comment with the gray reaction. If you are in favor of the Julia environment, inspired environment option, please respond to the rocket reaction. Okay, so I can somebody review the comment I just put, and let's make sure that it's clear.
I follow that link for the Julia environment variables, and it doesn't actually say what those arguments look like. I'd have to look elsewhere to find out what Julia's flavor would have to be.
Which link are you talking about?
The docs.julialang.org/n/v1/manual/environment variables.
Index.
.html pound blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
Okay, so basically you're saying there's not enough information there in order to...
I would have to do more digging, and I haven't done that digging. So that's what I know, which isn't much. And I guess that's my point. Is that I don't know much about the Julia option. I mean, would it be the exact same text that I would otherwise give to LLVM, but put it in a environment variable like pony_LLVM_args?
That's an interesting question. How about I delete my comment that I've left, and you follow up with that as a request for additional information from Dipin, and we could move forward once we have that fleshed out some more.
Okay, sure.
Does that sound reasonable, Andy?
Yeah.
Okay, I think that makes sense. I mean, I don't need that information because I'm just morally opposed to the idea of using environment variables. So yeah, I never even considered that. You just say environment variables and I go, no.
Such hate. Okay, so Sean, you're going to delete your comment then, right?
Yes, I deleted my comment.
Okay. All right.
And okay, Scott,
I'll get a typer.
Typeity type.
Okay. Scott, are you okay if we move on to the next?
No, that's fine. Go ahead.
Stuff. Okay, so moving on to Pony Lang, Pony C. Have a few open PRs. There's 3284, add runtime memory allocation tracking.
I have not looked at this at all yet.
Yeah.
I am aware of its existence.
Yeah, I haven't looked at this either. But.
So let's dig in here. Let's see what you've been up to, Dippin. Other than it didn't pass. Oh my God, it touches a lot of files.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I don't know if it makes sense to try to go over it right now.
Okay, well, so I'm seeing this is an if def. So pretty much basically we need to compile with this on. Okay, that's good. So I wouldn't expect this to have a performance impact. Okay, I see what he's... It touches a lot of files, but it seems to be pretty straightforward. Interesting. So wait. Is there two? Okay, so there's at least two different defines that need to be on here.
Use memtrack and use memtrack messages.
Yeah. Yes, I see the two defines, but then there's also, I'm unclear what's happening. Okay, memtrack. So this seems you can do one or the other, but not both. Okay, so if you do memtrack messages, it turns on memtrack and memtrack messages. Okay. I had one small comment here. I see. Yeah, so this is entirely a compile time option. I have a review changes. Request changes. So there's some files in here. It's not actually touching 31 files. Some of these are Dippin apparently opened them in an editor and it made some white space changes, and I'd like to get those removed. Remove the changes from this. Charlie Whitespace. Only for example, the what's that first one there? Like astsource.c. It has no actual changes to it. Any eventual merge easier and easier to review this PR. Okay. All right. So I at least asked for that change. It certainly appears to me like from first glance I need to review it further, but I would be surprised given how this is implemented for what I see if this had any performance impact when it wasn't in use. There could be something due to those data structures being there, slight changes to data structures, but I would be somewhat surprised on that, but I'd like to review it further and maybe get some type of micro benchmark that we could feel good about.
Okay. All right. Um, 3282 add ability to specify maximum memory a Pony program is allowed to use.
Yep, there's some discussion that we definitely need to have on this, which should be like right there at the end of Dip and Mud conversation.
Mm-hmm. Okay. 3279 allow fields to be consumed.
I thought we would have that conversation now.
I'm sorry. Okay, I thought you.
Yeah, we should have some of that conversation now. I'm just leaving one additional comment on the previous one.
Okay.
Right. So, the big part of this, so this adds basically a check where you can provide a maximum amount of memory that a Pony program should use. Right. Mm-hmm. And then as it currently stands, it does a couple things, one of which I have a question about whether it should be doing or not. So once it gets within the idea here is that when the overall program crosses with some threshold, I believe it's set at 90% right now. But I have to check of getting close to the total memory being used. This would cause individual actors to do garbage collection if they've allocated any heap since their last garbage collection, right? So we're looking at, we want to keep like a program at less than, say, 16 megs of memory usage, so that somewhere around when it crosses about 14 megs of memory usage, that any actor, every single time we go to check whether it's a GC, if it's allocated any heap since the last time it GC'd, we would go ahead and try to garbage collect that actor in order to try and keep the memory below that. That's the first part, and I think we could have some conversation about what is the threshold when we start doing based on the value that somebody gives when we start doing this. Let's GC all the time, and we could eventually look at doing like some type of thing where we exponentially do more or something. We could get fancy there, but I think that the basic that's core to the basic idea. The other part that Dipin currently has in there, which is the part that I wanted to discuss, is that if we try to allocate more memory than the max, then the program will abort, which is basically the equivalent of Java's out of memory error, right? Mm-hmm. Where you can set a max, you can set a max value for the JVM, and if you go up, if it starts trying to use more than, if you start trying to allocate memory that's above that, you'll get an out of memory exception. And you know, the normal scenario for that is that it would shut down the that particular running JVM. And my question is given like additional functionality which has been added to like Linux, for example, since the time when that was first introduced into the JVM, like a long time ago, where you have like the killer, and you can use CSETs and various stuff in order to limit the amount of memory which a process can get, where we could already, somebody could set, for example, that this process is not allowed to use more than like 16 megs of memory, and the OS will take care of it. Should we be duplicating this between the Pony runtime and the operating system? At which, if we don't duplicate it, would really make this more like it's no longer a maximum amount of memory, because we're not enforcing a max there, but it is a more like a suggestion to try and keep memory usage within this, where we'll start GCing more. And then you could also use like OS limits in order to put a hard limit on it.
Sorry, I missed the last part of that, but it sounded like you were saying that if we left out the part that kills the program, this will be more of a what?
It's more of a suggestion than, right, than a hard limit, right? Because I could use this flag and set it to 16 megs, but if I've set nothing for the operating system related to that, then what would end up happening is when we move above this threshold, we'd be GCing all the time in an attempt to get memory below that. But we're not actually killing the program if it goes above that. So in theory, it could still rise to 2 gigs or whatever, but we would be just doing a ton of GC to try and bring it back down below that level. If I put this together with operating system controls, it could actually result in the program being killed, but that would be left to the operating system, right? And it's how do we want to put those, how do we think we should put those together? It's an interesting thing that could happen is, for example, on the Linux side, I could set this value to say, don't give this any more than 8 megs, right? Mm-hmm. Don't let it have any more than 8 megs. And if I could set this value to something greater than 8 megs, because we have no visibility into that necessarily from the operating system side, and this would never kick in, right? And yeah, so it's what do we want the relationship between the runtime and the operating system on this?
I guess it sounds to me like then there's two separate things that we'd want to take into consideration. And so maybe we should separate them out. And for now, we could say that in most modern operating systems, I'll say, that there's a way to do this. I don't know. Are there
resource limits on the amount of memory a particular program can use?
Are there operating systems that we can think of offhand that might be, that we support, that don't offer those resource limits?
I'm not sure what Mac OS has in this particular area. I'm not sure what Windows has in this particular area.
I'm not either. So I guess that sounds like something that could be useful in a situation where you had an operating system that didn't provide those. But at the same time, I don't know that almost makes it sound like it should be a separate feature to account for operating systems that don't have those. So I think that I think you could make a case, Sean, for what you're saying, which is don't kill it, just have this be a recommendation and then use whatever your operating system provides if you need a hard memory limit. And if we find out that there are people are using this with operating systems that don't support that sort of limit, then we can go back and we could add another feature to explicitly kill the program when it reaches a certain level. I think that would be a better way to separate those two concerns, since they're kind of orthogonal. Is that roughly what you're saying?
Yes. That is the thing that I was entertaining. I don't have a strong opinion in either direction on this, but it was when I was going through it, it was definitely what popped into my mind as a possibility, right? Is do we want to be, particularly on Linux, which is I think where most people would be using Pony, do we want to be duplicating functionality that's there, stuff like Docker and containers and all of the rest of this that are becoming more commonly used? They also feature these resource limits. Do we want to be building our own resource limitation stuff into Pony?
I think my answer would be, for right now, we don't know that we need that.
I would say we do kind of, I'm thinking about this right now. I hadn't thought of this before, but we already do this to some level with the fact that we give you Pony threads as an option, right? I could use functionality within Linux. I could use CSET in order to limit the number of threads, limit the number of CPUs which are available to the Pony program, and therefore limit the number of threads. It's not quite the same, but we are sort of already doing something a bit there on that front.
Well, yeah, to some degree, but I mean, we're also like, that's more of a hard.
Yeah. I don't know. I do think you summed up the basic idea quite well though, Andy, Scott, Theo, Gordon, any of you have any thoughts on this?
While you guys were talking, I was looking through the man page it's buried under the giant bash man page, at least on Linux, talking about ulimit. And there are, I mean, there's separate controls for size of the data segment. Maximum residence set size, maximum stack size. So there are sort of multiple knobs there that that may or may not play together in ways that Pony program might need. Mm-hmm. And fiddling with those could be a hassle. But otherwise, I don't have a particularly strong opinion. I don't use that kind of Unix limit, Unix and Linux process limits nearly as much as I do, you know, like the maximum core size or, you know, something like that. So I don't have a lot of experience with them.
Theo?
I don't think I have anything to add.
How about you, Gordon?
I don't know. No opinion.
Okay. So,
I like this idea of allowing memory pressure.
Of allowing memory pressure. Can you add a comment to the the issue to bring up the idea with Dipin, and let's get his response back. It's not like I don't think we're at a place where we're like, oh, this is definitely the right thing to do, right? But I think it would be good if you could chime in with that, and we could also maybe I don't think it would hurt to leave this till next week as well, or tag Joe and after you leave your comment and get Joe's opinions as well. Like if we don't make a decision on this and this doesn't get merged for, you know, a week or two, I don't think it's the worst thing in the world, you know?
Okay. All right. I'll add that and we can start talking about the next one. 3279, allow fields to be consumed.
Allow fields to be consumed sometime. Yes. Okay, so I think at this point we're waiting on a review from Joe. Is this?
Yeah.
Yeah. I will leave a comment to that effect. I will also specifically request Joe as a reviewer. And I'm going to put do not merge on it until such time as Joe reviews it. Because he had some concerns and he understands the safety bits around this much better than I think just about anybody else.
Okay. And then the work in project compiling with LLVM 8, 34, this is still ongoing. Gordon, anything to add on that one? Guess not. Okay. So moving on to issues, 3285, compiler assert failure crash with interface default implementations.
Yeah, so I've been whittling this down. You can see it in the last comment.
Mm-hmm.
To something much more manageable than the example that he gave.
Mm, yep. Yes.
So it seems to be, it may not actually be the same problem, but it has a similar result, which leads me to think that it, you know, possibly very related. And it came directly from just cutting down his example. So you could do a lot of things to this program to make it work. Such as removing the default implementation of the interface B's function, or getting rid of the extra type, or reordering the type parameters such that U is defined in the type parameter list before I. That also solves this problem.
Okay.
So this just seems to be a bug in the type checker, I would think. That also, it has something to do with default implementations of interface functions.
Mm-hmm. Which one is this, by the way, that we're on? Sorry, I was leaving a comment on a different one that I noticed Dippin had asked my review on and I had missed.
This is 3285.
Oh, okay. Oh, wow. You just started checking this out, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I just cut down his example as much as I could.
Oh, yeah.
And it breaks in multiple ways if you change different things, which is interesting. I mean, I should say it stops breaking in multiple ways if you change different things.
Mm.
So I was saying, like, for example, if you get rid of the class A's definition, it's fine. If you get rid of the default implementation of B, then it's fine. And if you reorder the type parameter list of U and I, like if you put U before I, then it works as well.
Could you drop a comment to that to sum that up as well a little? That's quite interesting.
Okay, sure.
That's quite a thing. I wonder when this was introduced. I wonder if it's recent.
Well, I was doing this on the playground. I don't know how far back that is. But I also tested it on my laptop, which is using Pony up, so it's effectively a version of Pony from like a few days ago.
Yeah. Yeah, mine's the same. So if anyone has time to triage this against older versions of Pony to see if we can find when this was introduced. Prior to 2019, there is a lot of value. Okay. I left a comment basically saying if anybody has time to triage checking out older versions of Pony, see if we can figure out when it was introduced. That would be great.
Okay. 3283, compiler doesn't see required assignments in try else structure.
Yeah, I asked them to open that as a bug. I think that was actually already like a known thing, but I don't think that we had an issue for it. And at least in some cases, that is, you know, it should be relatively trivial to handle, like the case that's presented there. Although there are, I believe, it starts to get trickier when you get further into it. But yeah, I think that like the cases that are there, that's certainly something that's reasonable to expect to compile.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anything we need to?
I don't think so. At this point, I don't think so.
Okay. 3281, some standard library packages don't have package documentation in a file with the same name as the package. I was going through and just kind of nitpicking a little bit of documentation. This is recommended, right? That your packages have a file with package.pony. Okay. I wanted to make sure Never mind.
We want to have package level documentation for all.
Yeah, for this particular thing, yes, we should have package level.
Okay, but in terms of it being in another file, no, that's not problematic. Like,
well, it's not problematic in that it gets generated, I guess. Right.
No, like there is nothing where we've said, oh, we should put package level documentation in a thing called package.pony. That's not anything we've ever stated or said is necessarily even desirable.
Okay. We've done it in a few places. I thought there was some conversation about it.
We've done it in a few places where it felt like there wasn't a single file that made sense to be the one that has like the package level documentation based on how it is. But like PonyBench, for example, everything is related to PonyBench and its main entry point is PonyBench. So like, yeah, but PonyBench should probably actually not be called Pony_bench, I think, or one of those two directory names is wrong. And but like process monitor for like how we've done it before makes sense for process, you know, maybe the process directory should be renamed to process_monitor for the package rather than just process, but probably actually not. Packages, what is actually in the process one? I mean, it's certainly something we could review for them.
Do you think having documentation and custodian makes sense for bureaucracy? My main argument for having it is just if I see something in the standard library documentation.
I think it would be fine to move it into a bureaucracy.pony and have it there. I think that's reasonable. I have nothing against it. Like there's no particular rhyme or reason for why it is that way. Right. So yeah, I mean we could move that. Let me say, we don't have a specific rule in the style guide for it, so I think that we can at least I don't believe we do. So I would say that as part of that, we should update the style, the file naming stuff in, which I believe is in style guide, or it might be just in contributing formatting.
Are you asking if there is a section in the style guide about the name of a pony file?
Well, no, there is, but there's nothing about where package level documentation should be.
Ah, right? Okay.
Yeah, so there's...
Yeah, I'm just double checking, but I believe you're correct.
Yeah, there's nothing in the style guide, Andy. So I think it would make sense. I think it'd be completely reasonable going along with what you have there to provide a specific rule around this, which is where we update the style guide to match that and then make any of the necessary adjustments as part of this issue as well. Right.
So what's your recommendation for the style guide?
There is no rule for how this should be done in the style guide. You've pointed out that it's sort of
right
haphazard, right?
Yeah.
I would say if you wanted to propose that like there should be a file for the package, which is like package name dot pony, right? Like process dot pony, which contains the package level that should contain where package level documentation exists. We put that into the style guide under the correct area. And we update anything which does not conform to that accordingly, I would be in favor of that.
Okay.
So I think this is great as long as whatever the rule is that we're
documented
for this is in the style guide. Yep.
Okay, I'm gonna write a note to this effect.
Yes, I realized as I was explaining how it is currently, I was basically just like, oh, I'm explaining that there is no rule, right?
Yeah.
Right, so yeah, let's add a rule. Your rule sounds perfectly good to me, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, like I said, I noticed we had done it in other places. I kind of thought that at some point we had talked about maybe doing that, but yes, there's nothing in the style guide, so we should document it. And okay.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything about package stuff at all in there. Yeah.
Okay. I've left a comment to that effect. If anybody wants to add to that, they can. Okay. On the same vein, some standard library packages have no documentation, 3280. I think we can all agree that we should probably have some sort of documentation for these things.
Yep, I think there might even be an older issue under the project. There's a label which I was putting on stuff, and I opened some quite a while ago. Let's see, label project documentation. Okay. Well, oops, this one can be closed. Crypto package does not document dependency on libcrypto. Apparently I said in January of 2018 I was going to be opening an RSA to remove the SSL and crypto packages from the Pony Standard Library. How about that?
Nice work.
And then I did after forgetting that. Crypto is no longer part of the, so I think you should definitely add that label and into it for project documentation, just because we've been using that for documentation specific stuff.
Okay.
Standard library closing this. And then I'm looking to see I'm also looking to see if this is a duplicate of anything that's there. Let's see, incorrect documentation for array.slice. Standard lib documentation, no documentation generation enhancements, no array class needs full documentation, invalid documentation generated, documentation needs access, string class doesn't have documentation, any package needs improved documentation. Nothing along the lines of the stuff that you have there.
Okay. All right. That's good. Okay. All right. There's an issue 3274 for release 0.31.30.
Yep.
Let's see here. 3226 update Docker file to use Ubuntu 18.04.
Did somebody touch that issue at some point?
Looks like exactly a week ago. So,
which one?
There's some stuff 7 days ago. I don't know.
What was the? Here we go. I'll respond to him. R. Hagenson. For now, we have a couple things to figure out on this front.
Okay. And then 3140, compiler crash in Pony C 0.28.0 with LLVM 7 Plus for certain projects.
Shockwave is looking into that. Nothing to... that for now.
And then 1407, investigate compilation to WebAssembly.
I guess somebody, that's an old one.
Yeah.
Some random thoughts from Kevin. Okay. But that's good. I don't think there's anything to discuss there, but if somebody looks into it, that's some good additional info to think about. Yep. Even when somebody decides to tackle that.
Okay, so that's it for RFCs and
we're arguing. And we're basically at the end of our hour.
Basically at time, yeah. Let me just see if there's anything else. There's Last Week in Pony. Pony up, remove nightly release date assumptions from tests, and add building pony up images.
Theo, pony up, are we ready to call that alpha or beta or something? Is there more work to be done on that before we introduce it to the world?
I mean, I think it's ready to be introduced to the world, the Linux using world.
All right. I'll leave the introduction and versioning and all of that sort of stuff to you, right? For whatever needs to be done for that, right? I'll let you, because I have like five different things which I need to finish, which, you know, with like, I've been having a lot of migraines lately, which has been interfering with my getting stuff done. So I'll leave that to you to intro whatever it is. If you need anything from me on that, let me know and I'll chip in. But in the meantime, I have a few things I have to finish off.
Okay. Great. Sounds good. Thank you, everybody. And I will stop recording now.